This has taken place since probably late 80s and all the way till 90s and 2000. So up till now, we have probably more than 200 million people on the move, meaning shifting from rural sectors into urban sectors, participating in manufacturing and service industries. But the growth of this migrant population is coming down. So we are looking at wage increase in urban sectors of migrant workers, and but it's still a very important workforce.
What is that meaning for the rural workforce? Is it you're seeing less people in that space, less people in farming? What's that transition meaning?
You mean the implication for
Mm.
rural sectors?
Yeah.
Well, most of maybe people within that age group, so let's say people who have completed their junior high school or junior high school education, and they would move to urban areas to participate in employment in cities, primarily manufacturing and the service sector, but more increasingly in service sectors, and less people within that age group, so young workforce left in rural areas. Some might go back, but majority, probably a lot of the majority will come to urban sector for employment for higher wage.
And so for those that are staying on the farms, I imagine China's life expectancy is increasing. What social policies are there in place in the rural areas to assist people when they reach their later years of life? And I know in the cities the retirement age is quite a bit lower.
In rural areas, we have at least two very important social policies. One is for old age care, so it's like a pension system, if you like, but that covers the majority of the rural population. Now the coverage has reached probably more than 95%. So most rural elderly are entitled to receive social benefits, except that the benefits might be quite small, so it doesn't make a huge difference in terms of their livelihood. But over time, we expect that this benefit will increase. The other important policy will be the medical insurance or medical cover for their health, so that they can get reimbursed, they can get social benefits to look after themselves. So it's like a health cover for rural areas.
So what do you see as the future of these rural areas if you do see that migration, even if it is lower, people continuing to migrate to the coast and to work in non-agricultural sectors?
To a large extent, there's a urbanization process going on. So the traditional dual sector, so rural versus urban sector, is changing. So a lot of rural areas are now urbanizing. So they will shift from agriculture-based communities to maybe service and as more so service-based communities. So there's a development of a township and smaller-sized cities, and so that will be a major force. So urbanization at the moment, in Chinese case, will be around 50%, just over 50%. There's still a very large room for urbanization to take place, and the economic return for that is enormous, and that certainly is a direction for development.
On that point about the aging population and reduced labour workforce, do you think that's having a factor at play when people are looking at having fewer people working on a factory floor? Say, we were in Ningxia and we were at a cotton facility, which was all very modern. It was all very few labour required. Is that at play when you look at reducing labour workforce? Is that encouraging people into mechanical operations?
In some sense, if you look at how technology has progressed and how innovations have been taken place, it is often taken place in labor-intensive sectors because of the rising wage. There's a lot more incentives for sectors that used to use a lot of cheap labor to push for capital or technological-led kind of progress in order to save labor. So then you probably will all observe, yes, there will be few people working on the factory floor.
Going forward, what do you see as the role of Australia in China in terms of its contribution it can make to the domestically the Chinese economy?
Well, I guess Australia can make contribution at different levels in many ways. Certainly, the trade agreement to facilitate goods and services as well as people or talents to be allocated more efficiently. That's one thing. And secondly, Australia is of course having very different economic characteristics, but nonetheless there are a lot of effective or very well-tested policies that can provide insights and useful suggestions for Chinese policy improvement. And this people-to-people communication as well, all this, I think, will be very favorably perceived.